Welcome back to Co-op Radio, 102.7 FM, CFRO. Thanks to Kevin and Annette. This is a special for Monday Brown Bagger. Thank you so much, Kevin. My name is Reginald Angus Argue. I think Kevin might be archiving this on his website of hiddenfromhistory.org. I'm going to be archiving it at my website of angus-mcleod.com. McLeod spelled M-C-L-E-O-D. Before I get to our next guest, I'd just like to remind our listening audience that Kevin Annette and many of us, I'm hoping to be there myself. There's an upcoming event on December 6th at 10 a.m. over in Dunsmuir and Richard. There's going to be a protest going on over there, and it's going to be over at, I think it's a Holy Rosemary church over there. So anyway, I'd just like to remind our listening audience about that. People that are listening right now, if you want to go out to it, I'd say to people, please show up. Please help support Kevin Annette. I'm hoping to be there myself. Just come out and even shake Kevin Annette's hand, because, you know, it was Kevin Annette who actually has done massive amount of help to help bring the story of the residential school to light. And I will admit right now, if it wasn't for Kevin Annette, I myself would not have been brought to attention of what happened to the Native Americans in the residential schools. You know, like I said before, I've spent time in the military. I grew up on the northern tip of Vancouver Island in a small town called Port Hardy, and there was three reserves right there all around Port Hardy and Cole Harbour. And when what happened was, is that, you know, I didn't know what was going on. And it wasn't until I left Canada, had headed down the United States in exile, you know, in around 2003, 2004 is when I started to find out the evidence of what was actually the true history of Canada. But, you know, I'd like to thank Kevin for that so much. But with that said, you know, I'd like to introduce our next guest. He's a young aspiring hip hop artist, mogul from the 914 out of New York. He's currently working with the Sound Chemistry Records on his first album. And that was actually his song. He's an artist that's known by the name of Truth Now. Are you there?
This is Paul from Poker Face.
Oh, hi, Paul. I guess you're still there. I thought we were going to go on to our next guest there. I do apologize about that, Paul. It looks like, you know, we're going to take a quick break, it looks like. Oh, actually, Paul, actually, you know, if you'd like to fill in, ask some quick questions, you know, while we try to get a hold of Truth Now, that'd be awesome. You know, could you actually, with your upcoming album, I never had a chance to ask you, could you tell our listening audience where that actually can be available?
At any of our live shows, or if you go to pokerface.com, we have digital downloads as well as hard copies that you can order from our site.
And are you going to be doing a show near the Canadian border, possibly in Washington State, or, you know, over in Montana or Idaho or something like that, so people that are listening to Co-op Radio that are living near the border can actually go across and hear your music? Because I'm a big fan of a few of your songs.
At this present time, we don't have any dates set up. We were in Seattle, Washington this past March, and we did a couple open mics. Not open mics, but yeah, I guess they were open mics. While we were in town mixing down our disc, Peace War, that you know, we're talking about. And Montana, we might go there because one of the head Oath Keepers wants to put together a show that would have us come out for it. And last year or 2 years ago, we were in Sturgis, South Dakota. That was probably the closest we've come to Canada.
Well, actually, I know a gentleman who's a Canadian Oath Keeper, head of the Canadian Oath Keepers, you know, and I'll definitely have to try to hook you guys up with him. And, you know, if you ever come to Canada, I mean, I would love to listen to you, to basically come out and meet you guys. I think you're very brave individuals, and, you know, and a lot of things you're saying, I agree with. And, you know, that's one thing we need with freedom of speech, is we need to basically be allowed the right to say stuff. You know, people may not agree with everything we're going to say, but, you know, that's the one thing about true democracy, is that everyone's allowed the right to speak, right? But it looks like we've actually, my operator now has corrected the problem. And, you know, thank you so much for coming back on, Paul, and quickly informing us about where you can get your record again. You know, thank you again for being so brave and everything. And you know, that's Paul Tupi from the Poker Face. He's the lead singer off that. And we're going to go on to our next, to our guest right now. As I was saying, he's a young and up and coming hip-hop artist. He's out of New York, the 914. And he's currently working with the Sound Chemistry Records on his first album. And that was actually his song right there, Obama Can't Save You. He goes by the artist name of Truth Now. Hello, are you there?
How you doing?
Great. I mean, I love your song. I do apologize about that. What happens is we had a little bit of technical problem there.
Worry about it.
But at the same time, Paul was actually came back on and told people where to listen to, where to get his their up-and-coming album. They're a rock band, a protest rock band. I'm a big fan of theirs. I'm a big fan of your music, too, at the same time. I can't
wait.
Great,
right? Everybody's doing it with the passion and with the music.
Yeah, as soon as your album comes available, if you could notify us, because, you know, I'd even like to, if possible, if you could send us some copies, and we might be able to actually give them as gifts to a few of our listeners, too. I mean, that would be really...
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for that.
Yeah, we're looking at February right now for the release of my yet untitled EP, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, because we're a community-run radio station. We're supported by a listening audience who takes out memberships, and we're going to have a fundraiser coming up in the spring. And you know, if you're able to send us two or three copies of your upcoming,
oh, definitely.
Well, if you'd have to, you definitely have to sign it too at the same time, because what happens is,
oh, of course, it'll be a first for me. Yeah, I would love to.
Well, that goes out to everyone out there listening right now. We're talking to the artist known as Truth Now, and that was one of his songs. So what happens is when the fundraiser comes up, you know, my thought is that the first two people to join at springtime with the upcoming fundraiser, the first
They'll
two
get
people.
The album signed.
Yeah, signed by you. Well, thank you so much. And what happens is right now, you know, I'm a veteran of the Canadian military. I went over to Iran in '88. So I know what it's like over in the Middle East, and you know, I'm a big supporter against the war. I'd like to see all our troops brought home. I had a past guest on, David Orchard, and both of us talked about how the Afghanistan war is illegal. Now, with Obama coming into power,
undeclared, you know, Osama bin Laden's not even on the FBI wanted list for 9/11. We had the Taliban go on, I think it was C-SPAN or CNN, and say that they would willingly give him up to American authorities if they had a shred of evidence to indict him in the crimes of 9/11. I mean, and now they're talking about, what, 30,000 troops? We've already added 25,000 since Obama became president. I mean, like, is this a joke? Like, did Democrats completely get hoodwinked?
Yeah, also at the same time, when I had David Orchard on in the past, he pointed out how Russia tried to defeat Afghanistan and occupy it, Britain tried and failed, and then all of a sudden, you know, one of our generals, General Hillier, he was coming out and he's talking about scumbags, and he's talking about, you know, how Canada's going to occupy, you know, Afghanistan and bring about change. But, you know, one thing I'd really like to know, and even this goes out to Obama too, you know, what kind of possible drugs are these individuals taking? Because don't they know by history it shows that you can't occupy Afghanistan, and B, the only change that's going to happen is going to have to be through the people.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the drugs that they must be on, because we've noticed that heroin production, opium production has gone through the roof to 90%. Of the world's heroin is now coming from Afghanistan, when it was down in the teens when the Taliban was in control. We have Karzai's brother, the president of Afghanistan that we put in. His brother is an opium trafficker. You know, of course his government is going to be, you know, floored with corruption. His own brother is on the take and is, you know, smuggling opium to, you know, the children of the world. It's ridiculous, and nobody can see through it. I mean, we had the C-150s coming back from Vietnam with the bodies filled, you know, with Golden Triangle heroin, and now it's the same thing. It's just happening in Afghanistan.
What is your thoughts on the fact that President Obama is actually a recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize?
I'm glad you asked me that, because there's a lot of different theories going around as to why he got the Nobel Peace Prize. Is it because of, you know, his efforts to reduce the nuclear warhead count, or is it because he's, you know, a shining example of change and peace and hope? And these are all really, like, ridiculous claims. I mean, I think that, you know, the Nobel Peace Prize Committee is simply making, I don't know, some sort of vague attempt at reining in his war policy, because we have, you know, three wars. If you look at Pakistan and the unmanned drone attacks, or you look at Africa Command, the fact that, you know, they're basically declaring Africa, you know, the new colonial power system of, you know, the battleground between American corporations and Chinese corporations. I mean, there's a war, you know, anywhere you look right now, and yet he's supposed to be some sort of, you know, young Peace Prize winner in his first year as the American president. It's disgusting. It offends me as an American, and I think anybody who doesn't see through it is really just trying to, like, hump the last, I don't know, the corpse of the American dream at this point, because it's over. I mean, we've ruined our name, and Obama's approval rating is showing that now. 50% down from the high 70s. It's going to be, I mean, I think it's already under 50%, but it's going to be 30 by the time the Democrats run again. And, you know, it's over. If the Republicans come back, it's all just a game. It's a show. You know, they want to have Sarah Palin versus Obama. Like, who are these people? They don't represent Americans. They're just, you know, corporate interests.
Well, I'm more of a supporter in regards to the United States. I'm a supporter of the third-party candidates, Cynthia McKinney, Cindy Sheehan, Ralph Nader.
I love her. And Ron Paul, too. I would marry Cynthia McKinney if she wanted to, because when you hear her speak and when you get a chance to see her, like I did at 9/12 last year in New York for Time Is Now, and there was many people speaking, KRS-One, but she's just, she gets it. And, you know, she doesn't have all the evidence of 9/11, and that's not important, because it's so obvious that they keep lying. If there was one shred of evidence to support the official story of 9/11, besides, you know, passports that are flame-proof falling out of planes and out of buildings, you know, it would be one thing, but there isn't. And that's why people like, you know, like you mentioned, Cindy Sheehan and Alex Jones and Ron Paul, you know, these people, they might not know exactly what's happening, but they get it, that there's a bigger picture, that this is part of something that has been written about since, you know, you can go back to the PNAC documents and Paul Wolfowitz, you know, absent some kind of, you know, new Pearl Harbor. Well, you know, it only took them, what, half a year to get one? You know, after their first year in office, they get their brand new Pearl Harbor.
We have to remember the new American century and how an awful lot of neocons ended up within the young Bush administration, and also at the same time, you know, Bush, we all know that Bush stole the election, that actually Al Gore won, but one had to question, you know, even if it was recognized as Al Gore winning the election, Al Gore being the president, you know, what kind of future would the United States have? Because, you know, you take a look at Al Gore, he's in the exact same CFR bracket as Bush was, Bilderberg.
Oh, I know, he's their new chaplain of the new religion, which is that climate change is coming to get you unless you have a world government to stop it. I mean, this is ridiculous. These are the same people who run Exxon. You know, they don't mind paying some indulgences on their war crimes and on their crimes against, you know, our planet. That's nothing to them. They're already looting your pockets, you know, every single day. So, yeah, if Al Gore, would it have been softer tyranny? Probably. Would we have had such dramatic fascist wars of aggression? Maybe not, but we would have had that nice Clinton-era sort of tyranny that everybody's familiar with if they know about Waco, or if they know about Kosovo, or, you know, bombing Iraq just because he didn't want the press to talk about, you know, Monica Lewinsky for 5 minutes.
We also have to remember the Oklahoma bombing at the same time. And, you know,
exactly. I mean, a major inside job right there. And, I mean, I'm glad that you brought that up because we've got, you know, John Doe number two. We've got a Ryder truck that completely erases half of a federal building. I mean, you can't put enough explosives into a Ryder truck to do what it did to that building.
Well, actually, I was watching a YouTube video, and the news of the day talked about the fact that there was two bombs that went off, and they actually found another bomb that was that they had to basically de-arm, is what they're talking about. But it just blew me away, because all of a sudden, this thing gets pushed off the back. But quickly talking about global warming, you know, what I'd like to know is, that don't people realize the dinosaurs disappeared? So, you know, according to Al Gore, did all of a sudden, you know, the pollution that we're now putting out, did it actually affect our past and possibly affect the dinosaurs at the same time? I mean, what are these people thinking? You know, the Earth has changed. The Earth does this all the time. We have
climate change as something that happens naturally. I mean, it's a completely different issue from the pollution that we are contributing. I mean, I would love to see tougher laws regarding emission standards and, you know, cleaning up things that we really do contribute to, and that would be the best thing for everyone, because it's ridiculous. But they don't want to do that. If they actually had to, you know, have cleaner air, cleaner water. I mean, let's talk about clean water for a second. We have sodium fluoride in most of the tapping water. Most of the tap water. I mean, these are issues. These are serious environmental issues that get right down to the health of John walking on the street and Sally buying her groceries. But yet, you know, nobody wants to talk about that. Like, we have to be green by paying climate tax to a global government? No, how about we be green by buying local food, organic food, you know, something remotely healthy instead of whatever Monsanto wants to kill you with this week?
Yeah, we had a guest on the past, Pono, who's from Hawaii. He's a Polynesian, and he's talking about how Monsanto is using Hawaii as a testing ground. You know, it's so far away that people don't realize what's happening. And also Monsanto up here in Canada, too. But getting to Canada, now, sure. I've talked to how dark Canadian history is. And you actually had a run-in with some people up out of Toronto. And what happens is, because of your bad effect of here in Canada, I would like to apologize right now how you've been mistreated in Canada. And could you quickly tell our listening audience a little bit about how the Toronto police laid the boot to you?
You know what? It's not something that I wanted to get into, but you know what? Forget about it, because it's something that I should get into. Basically, what happened was I was profiled for being a young urban white male. I gave a toonie to a homeless person for directions, having only spent 7 days in your city. And then I was approached by the finger men, if you will, or the undies, narcos, you know, people dressed up kind of like me. And they arrested me and searched me without, you know, any probable cause of anything. They found some plant matter, cannabis sativa. And after they took me to the station, they whooped my ass naked. It was ridiculous. I mean, you know, I heard Canada was supposed to be some kind of, like, you know, nice place where you go and, you know, and there's, you know, there's ganja bars and, you know, the vapor lounge. And that's all, you know, that's all there. But then at the same time, you know, any possible link, you know, to the drug culture, and you know, they just want to beat it out of you if they can.
Well, over here in BC, there's an awful lot more of a climate that you would basically like. But at the same time, we have to remember.
I hear that.
With the Olympics coming up, did you hear what happened with Amy Goodman in regards to Democracy Now? She came across the border.
What was it? Is that she got stopped at the border, and then they basically just wanted to impress upon her the significance of never asking whether or not the Olympics was going to be a good idea, or was going to, you know, threaten civil rights.
What they're afraid of her asking, where they're afraid of her finding out, any homeless during the Olympics can be picked up by the police, thrown in jail, or detained somewhere else. B, they're afraid that she's going to find out that the police are going to have the right to go into people's homes and seize any anti-Olympic banner or paraphernalia, and, you know, the people could face
it. Isn't that nice, you know, when, when the friendly Olympic, brown shirts come in and, you know, take your press equipment. I mean, Amy Goodman has basically become the center of the epicenter, if you will, of constant human rights violations and violations of the First Amendment that we have in America. When her staff was like arrested, you know, for being press at the Democratic National Convention. I mean, it's ridiculous. The North American Union, you can't deny it anymore. It exists. It's one large fascist enterprise that has no concern over whether or not people have a right to sit on the stoop and be poor, or whether or not you have a right to protest an age-old occultic sort of, war game tradition. I mean, the Olympics on its face can be very nice, for what it does, but behind the scenes, it's like you're saying, they're just gonna kick your ribs if you dare question it.
Yeah, and with that said, I just got my operator just notified me that we're running out of time. I wanted to quickly give you about 30 seconds to tell our listening audience, where your website is, where
sure.
they can actually
yeah.
go to pick
let's,
up
let's
your upcoming
really
CD.
I'm easy to find. It's everything is at Truth Now Music. So if you go to myspace.com/truthnowmusic, facebook.com/truthnowmusic, twitter.com/truthnowmusic, that's me.
And do you have any contact information just in case the listening audience wishes to ask you questions, because you're a very knowledgeable individual?
Sure. They could shoot me an email at truthnow420@gmail.com.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. This is Co-op
thank
Radio.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Co-op Radio 102.7 FM CFRO. Thanks to Kevin and Nat. This was a Monday Brown Bagger special. And until I talk to people in 2 weeks' time, have a great day.